Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Hajj Step by Step. We're glad you can join us for this journey through the rites of Hajj. I'm Musa Maguire, your host, and our guide on this journey through Hajj is Sheikh Muhammad Salah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
On our last episode, we discussed many of the details of a tawaf, and we want to continue with that discussion now for some of the minute details that may cause people some confusion. The first question I want to raise is, what happens if you become confused about the number of times you've made the rounds of the Kaaba? So you think, is this my fifth? Is this my sixth? What do you do in this situation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabihi wa mustafa. Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Praise be to Allah. We praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is the truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. We bear witness that there is no God who is worthy of worship but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his last messenger. Well, whenever a person is performing tawaf, it's very possible that due to the rush, the crowd, a person is overwhelmed with so many things around, the loud recitation of others around him would make him really forget how many rounds did he do. In this case, it is similar to what happens if a person is praying and he is not certain as how many rak'ah did he pray already, whether 3 or 4. We normally say a person should consider the lesser. So if he's confused between 6 or 7, he should consider that he has done 6 and make one more to complete 7 rounds.
Sheikh, another issue that might come up is that you're making tawaf and your wudu is voided. What do you do in this situation?
We stated before that at-tahara from both the minor and the major impurity is mandatory and required for at-tawaf, exactly like in the performance of the salah. Accordingly, if one's wudu is void, he passes wind or anything takes place while he is performing tawaf, he should pause immediately, pull out, go perform tahara, make a new wudu, then come back. The ulama said that he may resume from the same point he started. It would be much better and safer if he just would start the entire tawaf once again.
Sheikh, what happens in a situation, obviously there's great numbers of people at Hajj, maybe you get stuck in or maybe one of the outer rings and you really get tired. What happens if someone just gets so tired they feel they can't continue with the tawaf?
In the case of tawaf, a person may rest if there is need for that. But if there is no need, he should take the 7 rounds consecutively. But if a person cannot continue, feels that the crowd is too much, he may go to the second floor or even the third floor, which will be much, much lighter. Of course, as far as reward, the closer you get to the Kaaba is the best. But not everyone can afford that. There are elders, people who have their kids with them, people who have their wives with them. So it's recommended for them to stay as much as they can from the very hot points, which is basically right around the Kaaba.
Sheikh, many people will try to find deeper meanings in some of the rites of Hajj. A lot of people are interested in the ideas of numbers and numerology. So they will say, why do we do 7 times? Is there a significance behind the number 7? What kind of response can you give to this? And I think it applies to many of the rites of Hajj, not just at-tawaf.
That is very right. And let us state this very important rule from the very beginning. the purpose of Hajj is to answer the call of Allah, the Almighty, to visit His ancient house. How and why? According to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his farewell pilgrimage, he instructed his companions saying, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, copy me exactly in the performance of the rites of the Hajj. So the purpose and why do we do so 7 times? Some people will try to find explanations saying that, oh, it's equal to the number of the heavens, earth, etc. If there is no reference in the sound Sunnah nor in the Quran, would pause at that and we would reflect upon one thing. We're here to comply with Allah's command and answer the call of Prophet Ibrahim and all the prophets after him and follow the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are certain activities and rites during Hajj which go back to an incident or it has a reference. If there is, that's fine. But it will not increase us any more confirmation. We're doing so simply to comply with Allah's command and to please Him.
Sheikh, we hear of different kinds of tawaf. And again, once the Arabic terminology comes in, sometimes it can get very confusing. What are the different kinds of tawaf and what are the differences?
It is very nice to study them collectively. But before that, I think it is very important to remember together some of the common mistakes which the pilgrims and those who are going for Umrah would do, simply either by seeing others doing so they would copy them, not being prepared with the adequate knowledge of the performance of Hajj and Umrah. So would like to alert the viewers concerning those mistakes, since they are very, very common. We stated before that the Prophet ﷺ, before entering Mecca, he would take ghusl while he's in a state of ihram. If a person is coming from a long, long distance, and nowadays you may stay in the bus for hours, up to 12 hours or more, I think that would definitely require a person to freshen up himself or herself by taking a bath to change the smell of the sweat and so on. So make sure that you're clean before entering al-haram. You see some people carrying a booklet, a footnote, with them. It accompanies them wherever they go. It reads as supplications for the first round, supplications for the second round, supplications for the seventh round, and so on. Similarly in As-Sa'i. There is no such thing in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nor did any of the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ do so or prescribe so. So what to do? Simply communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your heart. From your heart. You don't have to have a specific statement. As once the Prophet ﷺ asked one of his companions, what do you supplicate in your salah? He said, I ask Allah to take me to heaven and to protect me from the fire of hell. And I really do not know how to do a wonderful dua like you and Mu'adh. I do not know how to chant like you and Mu'adh. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is basically what we all chant about, asking Allah paradise and asking Him to protect us from the fire of hell. So while making tawaf, communicate with Allah from the heart. If you have memorized a few surahs of the Quran or a few verses, repeat them, ask for forgiveness. The only recommended dua to be said is رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And that's in between الركن اليماني and the black stone. A person may repeat this dua if he wishes at any time, not only during tawaf, outside tawaf, during sa'd, throughout his journey. The people who recite in groups out loud certain supplications, if they are not convinced with our saying that the Prophet ﷺ did not prescribe anything like that, and they are stuck with this notepad or the booklet they carry with them, we say at least give a chance to those who would like to perform tawaf with tranquility and peacefully to recite without interruption and confusion because of your loud recitation.
Sheikh, getting back to this issue of the different kinds of tawaf, Does everything we've discussed up till now conditional on that arrival to Mecca, or are these things that we'll take with us when we continue?
Well, thank you for the reminder. Actually, some of the practices which we said that they are recommended to do during tawaf will be only done during the very first tawaf, such as ar-ramal, which is walking briskly, that's only for men, in the first three rounds. And al-tuba', which is uncovering the right shoulder. And that's in the first tawaf throughout the seven rounds. So that when a person exits from al-tawaf and he's done, whenever he is ready to pray the two rak'ahs sunnah al-tawaf, he must cover his shoulders completely. And so whenever you see people uncovering the right shoulder while performing sa'i or throughout the manasik, this is completely wrong, and they should be educated and corrected in that regard.
Sheikh, in terms of this issue of praying, you mentioned praying after the tawaf. What exactly is the etiquette for praying after tawaf?
As we discussed, recommended acts during the tawaf. After tawaf, there is also some very recommended acts. Once a person completed the seven rounds and made sure that he ended up at the black stone, now he would pull out, go with the flow until he exits. Then offer two rak'ahs, which are known as sunnah al-tawaf. These two rak'ahs are recommended to be offered in a specific place, which is right behind the station of Ibrahim, which we have seen. However, due to the crowd and the rush, a person may offer them anywhere in the masjid, and no difference. Especially nowadays, the entire lobby is just making tawaf. Should not interrupt others by offering two rak'ahs, interrupt them from making the tawaf, and certainly they will cross in front of you, and this is of course wrong. You recite in the first rak'ah Surah Al-Fatiha and قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and in the second rak'ah Surah Al-Fatiha and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. This is the tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you may recite any other surah, but these are just the preferences. Once you're done with the two rak'ahs of Sunnah Al-Tawaf, now you're ready for the big prize, the surprise, drinking from Zamzam water. Zamzam water, this great blessing that Allah given us, the Muslims, it's as old as since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused it to gush forth beneath the foot of Ismail, peace be upon him, when he was a child, when his father Ibrahim alayhi salam took him there, and his mother, without any company, left them in that deserted place to comply with Allah's command. So the Zamzam water gushed forth there, and the Prophet said concerning this blessed water that Zamzam lima shuriba lah. Drinking Zamzam water is for whatever intention you drink it with. A person who drinks this water with the intention and the wish to get cured, Allah will cure him. The intention of getting married, Allah would facilitate the process of marriage for him, but of course he should not make the marriage contract while in a state of ihram, not that soon. If a person is drinking Zamzam water with the intention and wish to get rich, Allah would fulfill that for him if he is sincere in his intention and trusts in Allah the Almighty and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their promise in that regard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning Zamzam water, إنها طعام طعم وشفاء سقم. It is indeed as a food for a person who's hungry and drinks it as a mean of provision. And it is indeed a remedy and a cure for an ill person who drinks it with the intention of seeking remedy and a cure from Allah the Almighty.
Sheikh, let's continue with Zamzam after a short break. This is a very interesting topic for all Muslims, so I'm sure you'll want to stay tuned. Please stay with us. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Hajj Step by Step. Before the break, we were talking about a very interesting topic, Zamzam water. I had to cut you off, Sheikh, but you were talking about the blessings of this water, so please go ahead.
Well, as we discussed before, that the Prophet ﷺ said, this water is so blessed that if any person drinks from Zamzam water with any intention, with any wish, believing in Allah, putting his trust totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trusting his promise, Allah would definitely fulfill his wish and answer his dua. Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, knew this fact. So before drinking from Zamzam water, his dua was, اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء وسقم. Which means, O Allah, I ask you to grant me a useful knowledge, not any knowledge, but a useful knowledge, and a spacious provision, precious provision. And I ask you to cure me from every and any illness. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, may Allah have mercy on him, one of the very righteous people, once before drinking from Zamzam water, he paused and he said, O Allah, I have heard that your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Zamzam lima shuriba lah. Zamzam is for whatever intention you drink it with. So, O Allah, I drink Zamzam to conquer my thirst on the Day of Judgment. You know, those people really aimed very, very high. So it's recommended to make as many wishes as you can and pray for yourself, for your loved ones, and for the entire ummah. Some people think it's only one prayer will be granted, or one dua. So let me save it for myself, or one thing at a time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous and He's the richest. And he's able to fulfill all our needs at once.
Sheikh, what about when you go for Hajj? Of course, one of the requests you get from relatives and friends back home is, bring me Zamzam water. Is it permissible to collect it and take it from Mecca?
You see, whenever we say it's permissible, we have to have a reference that is permissible. The Prophet ﷺ did so, or any of the companions did so during his life. Actually, it took place during the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and he approved that. So taking Zamzam water to your loved ones back home is actually the best gift. Would it be as effective? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. So once they go there, people have the idea that it's different if you drink it here than there. Of course, the place has its sacredness, but the water itself does not change. And its power and its effect, which is taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is extended whether here or there.
Well, now that we get, as you say, this great gift for finishing tawaf, we don't want to close the subject of tawaf entirely. And we do have a video covering some of the mistakes and misconceptions about a tawaf. So perhaps we could show that now as a bit of a review, and you can comment on what the problems are with the
Well,
practices.
I just noticed what I warned again. Somebody was holding a notepad, and he's completely obsessed with the notepad. There is another person who's raising both his hands before the black stone, which we said that by pointing by the right hand, if you cannot reach, that would be enough. People are going the opposite direction simply because they want out. This is not proper. And here you see that, look, this is around the black stone. And that's why I would be very, very confident to say to the sisters, especially, do not even try. It would be sufficient, especially during Hajj, because it's extremely difficult for you to reach there. However, for men as well, by pointing from far away, Allah knows very well your intention that you would love to get there, but you're complying with the command of the Prophet ﷺ to Umar and to the strong ones not to fight, not to hurt others around the black stone and in this sacred area. As you see here, this is a Rukn al-Yamani. People are kissing and hugging the Kaaba. It's like the black stone, who said this is false and wrong. Just imagine the crowd around the Kaaba. Everybody have to be merciful with others, or otherwise we would lose the reward of performing Hajj.
Well, thank you, Sheikh, for that explanation. It certainly helps to see some of these examples with so much information to digest. There are a few other issues that I wanted to bring up just for clarification. You mentioned a couple times that it was permissible or possible to make tawaf from the upper levels of the masjid. Is there any difference in reward or validity based on whether you're making tawaf on the ground or on the second or third level?
One should try their utmost to be as close as they could to the Kaaba. If it is not possible, especially for women or men who have women with them, they should keep behind as much as they can. Because the issue is to comply with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not to compete to hurt others just to touch the Kaaba or the black stone. So if you get to do tawaf in the second floor or even on the roof, inshallah it is accepted. Especially if it is very crowded, such as in Hajj, as we have just seen.
Now, there's another interesting issue that comes up in a tawaf. Some people are performing Hajj on behalf of another, and they're conducting the rites of Hajj on behalf of another. But as you mentioned, after a tawaf, there's a 2 units of prayer that are performed. And normally, you cannot perform prayer on behalf of another person. What happens in this situation when someone is doing it on behalf of another, but they're praying now? Does it count for the other person? Do they leave this off? How is this dealt with?
This is actually a very intelligent question. We understand that it is not permissible to pray on behalf of others. You may perform Hajj, Umrah, on behalf of others. You may give a charity on behalf of others. But to pray on behalf of somebody else, even if it is the dearest one to you and the closest, it is not permissible. Prayer is only on behalf of yourself, except in this condition. So that if you happen to be performing Hajj or Umrah on behalf of somebody else, once you're done with your tawaf, you're offering the 2 rak'ahs of sunnah to tawaf, and that counts for the person whom you're performing Hajj or Umrah on his or her behalf. Similarly, if you have your young kids with you and they are not aware of the prayer, you may pray in this condition on their behalf, rak'atay sunnatul tawaf.
Well, Sheikh, you mentioned the different kinds of tawaf and some of the distinctions between the arrival tawaf and what would happen later on. But what exactly are the names of these different kinds of tawaf? And are there any other differences?
There are actually 4 different types of tawaf, and we will learn the differences between all of them. The first tawaf is known as tawaful qudum, or the arrival tawaf. If a person is coming to perform Umrah and Hajj together in the same time during the months of Hajj, then tawaful qudum, or the arrival tawaf, becomes a rukn in his right that they must. And there is no way that they can escape this kind of tawaf. And of course, in this tawaf, they would uncover the right shoulder in the first 7 rounds. And they would jog or walk briskly in the first 3 rounds. That's known as tawafu al-qudum. Whether a person is coming with the intention of performing Hajj al-Qiran or Hajj al-Tamattu. The second type of al-tawaf is tawafu al-ifada. Tawaf al-Ifada is whenever people finish with the day of Arafah, on the 10th day, which is the following day to Arafah, people would come to Mecca, yufidu min Mina, they would come back from Mina to perform Tawaf al-Ifada. That's why it was called al-Ifada. This is the pillar of the Hajj, one of the pillars of the Hajj, so it is rukn. That each pilgrim must do it by themselves, even weak and sick ones. No one can do it on behalf of others, similar to the very first kind of tawaf. So its beginning is the 10th day. Well, its end, the ulama said that a person may do it during any day of the following days, the Eid days, Ayyamut Tashriq, even to the end of the year, some scholars said, it's open even if it is next year. The main thing is we don't want people to panic. Once they are done with throwing the stones, they think that I have to perform tawaf al-ifada today or my hajj is invalid or incomplete. No. It begins on the 10th day. The third type of tawaf is tawaful wada', and it is tawafun wajib. This is in the right of every person who came to perform hajj, whether ifrad, qiran, or tamattu'. Once the person is done completely with all the rites of hajj and he's fixing to leave, right before leaving, prior to departure, it is a must that every hajj, male or a female, perform a tawaf, which is known as the farewell tawaf. And it should be the last activity right before departure. When I say wajib, it is different than rukn, because in case of rukn, that it is not redeemable. In case of tawaful wada', it is redeemable and fixable. Some people, they cannot do tawaful wada', such as women during their menses. Safiya, the mother of the believers, may Allah be pleased with her, she was with the Prophet ﷺ in his farewell hajj. And when they were fixing to leave, she informed the Prophet ﷺ that her period have started. So the Prophet ﷺ said that أَحَابِسَتُنَا هِي, she's going to withhold us here. When he was informed, Ya Rasulullah, she already did tawaf al-ifada, he said, well, then let us go. That indicates for women during their menses, they don't have to offer tawaf al-wada'. That also indicates tawaf al-wada' is not one of the pillars of the hajj. Rather, it's only mandatory for those who can afford it, which is basically every person except women during their menses.
So we have tawaf al-qudum on arrival, tawaf al-ifrad on starting at least on the 10th day.
Tawaf al-ifada.
Ifada.
No.
Okay, tawaf al-ifada, tawaf al-wada'.
Tawaf al-wada'. And the fourth type is tawaf al-tatawwa, like the voluntary salah. You may pray any time, except in specific three times which are disliked to offer the prayer during, such as after fajr till sunrise, and after asr till sunset, and 20 minutes approximately before dhuhr until it is dhuhr time, or until the sun moves away from its meridian. In the case of tawaf, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not prevent any person who is interested to make tawaf from making tawaf any time, day or night. Any time throughout the year, a person may perform this tawaf. It's some form of prayer, similar to the salah. It just requires wudu with the intention of making ibadah.
Well, as you can see, Sheikh, I'm getting a little confused by the terms, but you've made it very clear, and I think I feel much, much more at ease with the situation. I'm sure our viewers feel the same way. I think we've covered this issue of tawaf very comprehensively. And so in our next episode, inshallah, we'll move on to the next step of Hajj. Please stay with us then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.